could bless your pastor, buy us Pelican tickets. They're cheap. They're cheap. Nobody else wants to watch them. And so if you're there, Jeremiah chapter 29, I feel like the Lord has given us a word. Typically, we will go right into our next sermon series. We plan our sermon series a year in advance. We like to be planned. I like to think about things and meditate on things and ask the Lord. And just in the past month or so, the Lord has been speaking this to my heart. And sometimes it's a personal word. Sometimes you'll get a word and it's personally. But as you can see from the testimonies this morning, wasn't that great? I loved hearing from Riker and Jeanette and Michael. I love hearing what's happening in people's lives. And then about weeks ago, Jeremy spoke on the idea of planting and sowing and reaping and how we can sow and then we can reap. And then I was listening to Brother Andrew. How many people were here for Brother Andrew last Sunday? Yeah, how many people went up and got a word? Everybody? Okay. So I encourage you. I'm so thankful. He said he's coming back. Hallelujah. So he said, I'm going to be back. We're going to make it work. So we have Brother Freddie on the schedule, and we have Brother Andrew on the schedule. And I was able just to sit there on Saturday night, for he was started at 6:30, and no lie, he did not end until 10:30 at night. That's whenever you know a man is willing to hear the voice of the Lord. We asked him, we said, Brother Andrew, do you want me to play music like a piano? I was so thankful he didn't, because that would have been hours. And so he said, no. He said, I want to hear the word of God. So he says, I don't want any music. And I thought that was so interesting. He said, I want to hear what God is saying. And so he began to just speak. And when he was speaking, I don't know if you were here on Saturday night or Sunday, but here's my incredible sense, is that God loves you, that he cares about you, that he has a specific word. Sometimes we are so hard on ourselves. Can I get an amen? I don't know. I'm hard on myself. I look at myself and say, Tara, you can do that better. I'll look in the mirror and say, Tara, you can look better. And I'll see all the gray hair instead of seeing all the brown hair. You know what I'm talking about? And so I am very critical of who I am. And that just comes by my upbringing. And I know that. And I'm sitting underneath Brother Andrew, and he's just giving out kind word after kind word of how God's going to use you, and he's going to spend time with his presence. And God just did a work. And even this morning, I was talking to people, and they said, you know, they started weeping, remembering the word that Brother Andrew gave. I want to say this. This is a side note. If you did not get that word, copy that word, but you know that word was for you, get with Pastor Ted, give him your email, and he can clip out your part, and we can send it to you. We encourage you as pastors to sit on that word. The Bible says to test every word, see if it's good or it's bad. And so just we encourage you to do that, to sit on it. We're going to copy our word and listen on it. I know my husband said he had tears in his eyes. Y'all, if my husband has tears in his eyes, God has moved. God has moved. And so he said he even had tears in his eyes when Brother Andrew brought that word. And this morning, I want to continue in that theme for the next couple of weeks. We want you to thrive. Turn to your neighbor and say, thrive. Say, I'm gonna thrive. That's the word that the Lord has given. I don't know if you've ever been in a room and you ask someone, how are they doing? And like, well, I'm just making it. You ever been around those kind of people? I got breath in my lungs. And it's not wrong to have breath in your lungs. Obviously, you need breath in your lungs. But you also need to have a vision in your step. You need to have a purpose in your plans. And I understand seasons of dryness. I do. I have been in seasons where it has been through the valley of the shadow of death. But I want you to know that even in those valleys of the shadow of death, you don't have to fear, because the Lord is with you in those times and in those moments. Even if you are going through a rough season right now, that God can have you to not just survive, but he can have you to thrive. And I want to speak that word into you, into your circumstance, into your life right now, whatever it is that's going on in your life, your years, whether you are older. I love that Brother Andrew would speak into the older people and say, God still has a purpose for you. God still has a plan. I believe that until the day we die, God has a unique skill set for us to thrive. What does the word thrive mean? thrive means to grow and develop well, to prosper and flourish. So when we're thinking about thriving, and sometimes that seed will be planted in the ground. Now, I am a terrible planter. I do ferns well and cypress trees because you can't kill either of them. Even in the middle of a drought, like my ferns died. I didn't realize it wasn't raining for months and months last year. These are not my ferns. These are Miss Tina's ferns. Mine are beautiful, though. And so I have them in the front of my house. And about 2-3 months into the drought last year, my ferns start dying. And I'm like, what happened? And we didn't water them. And so I start putting water on them. And y'all, ferns will come back to life. And so a freeze will happen. And I forget to bring my trees in. I don't know about y'all, but I just am that person. And even if they freeze, you just start nourishing them and taking care of these ferns. And they thrive. Cypress trees, the same. Crepe myrtles. He's like, crepe myrtles. You can't kill them. And so they'll just thrive. And my little crepe myrtles, we planted two right when we moved into our house. And y'all, they're beautiful. I will sit outside and look at that crepe myrtle and pretend like I did something. Like, I will look at that and say, and my kids, they'll be like, Mom, and what are you looking at? The tree. Look how beautiful. I didn't kill one. I didn't kill something. And so I'm sitting there, and the crepe myrtles at my house are thriving, and my ferns, they're thriving. And I just want to say this morning, you too can thrive. You can have a plan and a purpose that God has given you. In Jeremiah chapter 29, there's a lot going on. There's this tension. The people are going to be put in captivity. That's not an option. They had sort of set this out for themselves. There were consequences to their misbehaviors, to their sins. And so the consequence was that there was going to be a time in Jerusalem where the people wouldn't be in Jerusalem. And Jeremiah, who is a prophet, that's someone who tells prophetically of what's going to happen. And he says this, he says, y'all are going to be in captivity. In fact, his word was that you would be in Babylon, and it was going to be lengthy. And there were all these false prophets were saying, oh, it's not going to really happen, or it's not going to be as long. And he said, no, he said, the word of the Lord is true. And he begins talking to these exiles, to these people that find themselves in a strange place, in a strange country. And he says, you've got to settle in for the long haul. You've got to know that this is a season. Now, 70 years, it's interesting, before we get into the text, 70 years is what's considered a lifespan. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have 70 years, perhaps just a little bit more on the top of that. But the Bible says we have 70 years of life within our youngs. And so we see this, that for a lifespan, that there were going to be a people that were in Babylon. There were going to be a people that were stuck up under captivity. And Jeremiah needed to write a word, not that you would just survive, but that you would also thrive in the middle of a bad circumstance, in the middle of a bad diagnosis, in the middle of these problems that were going on around you. He didn't say the situation was going to change. Rather, here's what Jeremiah is bringing: a letter to the exiles in Babylon that says, in the middle of it, God is calling you to thrive. Look at Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 1. These are the words of the Lord of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders of the exiles, and the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar has taken into exile from Jerusalem into Babylon. This was after King Jeconiah and the queen mother, the eunuchs, the officials of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the metal workers had departed from Jerusalem. So Jerusalem is no more. All is gone. And he's writing a letter to the people that are exiled in Babylon. In verse 3, it says, the letter was sent by the hand of Elessa, the son, and I'm going to mess these words all up, of Shaphan and Gemaran, the son of Hilkah, when Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and it said. Now, here's where we need to zone in. In verse 4, here's what he says. Thus says the Lord of hosts. Here's a prophetic word into them. He says, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I, Now, God had allowed these things to be set into place. You could see that this has walked through the sovereignty of God, that God has allowed them to be exiles. You can see that what they sowed, they're getting ready to reap. But even in the middle of the sowing and the reaping that was because of their behavior, God will still say, because he loves you, because he cares about you, he will still say in the middle of it, he says, I know God should fuss me. He should write a letter of ill repute. Instead, God says, I'm getting ready to work even in the middle of your bad circumstance. It says in verse 4, it says, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Verse 5, it says, build houses. Now you could imagine they would thought, well, we're leaving. The captivity won't be long. And instead, Jeremiah says, inside of what you never desired for your own life or some circumstances, here's the prophetic word. He says, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. In verse 7 it says, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. So the Lord is saying, in the middle of these circumstances, in the middle of this situation that you find yourself in the middle of a valley, in the middle of a dry place, the Lord would say to us, even in those moments, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to fear, because I am with you. And my rod and my staff, they will comfort you. And so Jeremiah is saying, build. Jeremiah is saying, seek. Look at verse 7. It says, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you. God says to begin to pray over your city. Begin to pray over your circumstance. Begin to seek the welfare. Build houses. Live again. Thrive again. Look at verse 7. It says, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. So the Lord says, build. He says, seek. And then he says, begin to pray. And so in the middle of that situation, the Lord says, even in the middle of it, if you are going to thrive, you need to build. Someone needs to know this morning that they can get up and build again. Sometimes we live under what people have told us or said about us. Maybe you have a negative word that was speaking. I'll never forget, I was with a young person. And he was growing in the things of God. And he said, he reminded himself all the time, his teacher in fourth grade said, you'll never amount to anything and you'll never do anything with your life. Y'all, that word rang out with him for years. And he lived underneath the word of what a teacher in fourth grade said. And he could never say, I'm going to thrive. I'm not just going to survive. I'm not just going to make it. I'm going to get up out of my seat and do something. That's what Jeremiah is saying. He's saying there is a time and a season to build, that God has a purpose for you. He has a plan for you. He's calling you to pray on behalf of the city. Verse 8, keep on looking. It says, for thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners, those who are among you, deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream. So in the middle of it, don't listen to deception. Don't listen to things that will come and try to distract you, for it is a lie. They are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, and here's the part that we know, this is like one of the most famous scriptures in all, probably of all of the Bible. It says, for thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you And I will fulfill to you my promises and bring you back to this place of the Lord. And I'm bringing you back to Jerusalem. You're not going to stay in this situation. You're not going to stay with this concern. And verse 11, it says, for I know. Somebody say, I know. Now, I know is not me. That's God says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now, if I was an underlining kind of person, I would be underlining that in my Bible right now. Because you can believe that as you are in the middle of captivity, as you are in the middle of a weak place or a dry moment, that you can thrive. How do I know that? Because of what the Word of God says. Jeremiah 29:11 in context says, even in the middle of those places, God says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. We'll keep on reading in verse 12. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place of which I sent you into exile. So there's good news this morning that in the middle of a tough situation that you can thrive. In the middle of a negative word spoken over your life, you can thrive. In the middle of what maybe you even deserve and the consequences for the patterns of your lifestyle that God has not washed you out to see. Instead, God is saying in the middle of that, that I have called you, I have a purpose for you, I have put my name on you. And God is saying this morning to you, it is time to thrive. Somebody say thrive. Now, that means that dreams can come. I love dreams. I don't have crazy dreams. My husband has crazy dreams. I know this because he goes like that in the middle of the night, and I'm like, a crazy dream by Ted. And then I'm awake for 2 hours, and all the women said hallelujah. And so, yeah. And so I have dreams of what God wants to do. And sometimes the enemy will steal that. He will steal your vision. He will steal your purpose. He will steal what God spoke to you. You know, sometimes even when Brother Andrew Eastman was speaking, what happens? Immediately that word sort of goes away. Why? Because it's a vision. It's a dream. It's a word that God has for you. And so that's why we recorded it, so that you can write it over and over and over again to believe again, and not just to survive it, but to thrive in it. Now I think of a person and of Jesus and how he survived in rough situations. How in the world am I going to not just survive, but how am I going to thrive in the middle of the circumstance that God has given me? I want to point out an interesting scripture. It's in the New Testament. So if you want to turn there, you can, but it's actually going to be on the screen. And it's Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Now, about 3 months ago, the Lord gave me this scripture. I'm listening to the Bible Plan with Hope Community Church. I am listening to it. And I'm listening to the just listening over and over again to the Word of God. And they were talking about this scripture, and for some reason, I had never recognized it. And so let me give you a context to what's happening. Jesus is 12 years old. He's at the temple, and he is going into the temple, and they lose him. Mary and Joseph lose their child for 3 days. Sort of scary. And so they don't realize it. They're heading back home, and all of a sudden they realize, oh my goodness, we lost Jesus. And so that's probably a concern to them. And so they turn back around, they search the city, and they find Jesus talking in the temple, ministering in the temple with wisdom and power. And they probably fussed him, you know, like, what were you doing? I can't believe I lost Jesus. Somebody's probably going to write about this, and so you know, put it up on social media, and so they do. We hear about it 2,000 years later, and in Luke chapter 2, that part is over, and we don't hear from Jesus, like 12 years old, and we don't see any movement until he's 30. And it says this in Luke chapter 2, verse 52. And I think this is a moment of thriving and how Jesus learned how to not just survive, but thrive. It says this, then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all of these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom. Somebody say wisdom. And stature. Somebody say stature. And in favor with God and with man. In a season where we do not hear of our Savior from 12 years old until 30, here's what Jesus was doing. Thriving. How did he thrive? I think these three ways. I've been praying this over my kids and over my family. I've been praying this over the church. And this morning, I want to give you three ways to thrive. The first one, Jesus increased. Now, Oprah Winfrey, I don't know if you should listen to her. You shouldn't. Oprah Winfrey says, follow your instincts. And she says, that's where true wisdom is where you follow your instincts. I want to tell you this morning, she is wrong. She doesn't have biblical sense. See, filled with the proverb says, wisdom is the ability to judge correctly and apply the best course of action or knowledge for your life. Another way to describe wisdom is the moral skill for living revealed through the God's word, which instructs us on how to live as he desires. Get this, knowledge, we can get knowledge in college, right? You remember that old saying, yeah, girls go to college to get more knowledge. And so, guys too. And so we go to college, knowledge is horizontal. You can get knowledge from school. You can get knowledge from Google. You can get knowledge from college, but wisdom is horizontal. The thing is with wisdom is that it comes from God. Knowledge comes from man, and there's nothing wrong with knowledge, but if you want to thrive, you need wisdom. And you say, but I don't know how to get it. Here's a good way to get it. Look at the verse on the screen, James 1, 5 and 6. James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, and if you do, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all and without reproach. And it will, somebody say will, and it will be given to you. So the promise of Scripture is if you need wisdom, not knowledge, which is horizontal, but you need wisdom, which is vertical between you and the Lord in a situation or during your time of walking through the wilderness, you can ask of God. And God says that's a prayer I'm getting ready to answer all the time, every time, because it says he will give generously to all without reproach. So you can ask for it today. You can wake up and ask for wisdom tomorrow morning. You get yourself in a situation on Tuesday night, I don't know, and all of a sudden you need wisdom. You can ask the Lord and say, God, give me wisdom. God, shower your wisdom. God, I don't just need knowledge. I need wisdom. I need to act like you. I need to think like you. I need to understand like you. So we thrive when we grow in wisdom. And Jesus thrived because he began to sit at 12 years old until 30 and say, I'm going to grow in wisdom. Number two, you're going to thrive when you grow in stature. Now, what does it mean to grow in stature? The expression is actually borrowed when we say the stature. You say, well, maybe he grew, like he grew taller. And then some people in the room are like, yeah, I get to grow taller. But the idea is not just to grow physically taller. This expression is borrowed from 1 Samuel chapter 2, when the young Samuel is growing underneath the prophet. And so Samuel, it says, grew in stature. Samuel grew underneath of the tutelage of Eli. And so he sat there and he was ministered by and he found someone that would help him grow in his relationship with the Lord. Let me say that again. He found someone that would help him grow in his relationship with the Lord. Brother Andrew Eastman, I'm going to go back to him and his story. So he ministers in the prophetic. He does. Like he has a gifting And so I was talking to his son. The first question I asked his son was, are you single? Because I wanted to know. And so he was. He is single. And so I asked the second question the next day. I asked, his name was John. I said, John, he's a fabulous guitar player. I don't know if you heard him. I said, how much do you practice? 5 hours a day. He practices 5 hours every day, and he talks into his guitar. It's crazy. And so and he loops it, and it's ridiculous. And every night, a Saturday night and on Sunday morning, he would sit in the back, way back seat, and I would look at him. Because a lot of people, when they minister, they're like, oh, I'm done. Let me go do my thing. Like, I'm going to go, you know, talk on the phone, play with my phone, and just sat there. And I said, John, what? I said, are you planning on taking over your dad's ministry? He said, yeah. He's 32 years old. He said, I feel like the Lord has called me. My dad agrees. He's called me. He says, here's what I do. He says, when my dad goes and prays at the front, he says, I sit in the back row of whatever church he's at. And he said, I asked God to give me a word, a tiny word of what he's getting ready to give my dad. And he says, I'm growing in the gift of hearing my God. And I was like, wow. Like how? He said, I believe that whenever it's time that God is going to place the mantle and the anointing that is on my father, that he is going to place it on me. At 32 years old, sitting there and saying, I want to grow in wisdom, but I also want to grow in stature. I want to grow with an increased knowledge of who God is. That's what stature is. He said, y'all, I believe God's going to do it. Like, I was like, so great. So we'll have you for the next 20 years, too, when your dad retires. We're just going to keep this going, right? Because God has allowed a little of the gifting. But if you want to grow in all of the gifting, you need to grow in stature. You could be gifted with something. You might have a gifting of baking. You might have a gifting of people. You might have a gifting of sports. And you could sit there and you could say, okay, God, that's what I have, and never grow. You could just sit there. Maybe God's called you to write a book. Maybe God's called you to start a ministry. Maybe God has called you to go out and evangelize. But if you just sit there and say, okay, God, well, that's it. I'm just going to say this is my 70 years, and then I'm done. But this man, John Eastman, said, I'm going to sit underneath my father, and I'm going to grow in wisdom, but I'm also going to grow in stature. I'm going to sit down. And y'all, he was so excited. He said, I hear one word of what my dad says 10 words for. He said, but it's a little bit, and it's coming. And it's coming. See, you have to grow in little, and the Lord said he'll make you ruler over much. But first, grow in stature. Jesus understood, if I'm going to thrive, I am going to sit, look, in obedience to my parents, whom I created, by the way. And I'm going to sit underneath them, and I'm going to learn from them, and I'm going to see how they teach me. And he sat, and he learned, and he grew in wisdom. Somebody say wisdom. And he grew in stature. Somebody say stature. That's the knowledge of Jesus, the knowledge of God, and his desire for his people. And then it says he grew in favor. He grew in favor. Now, I like favor. I like a lot of things, clearly. I'm a little bit crazy. But I love the favor of God. You say, well, God doesn't play favorites. You're right. The Bible says that. He doesn't play favorites. He loves each one of us in the room the same. He does. He has a plan for each one. You have a purpose. You have a God design. God doesn't look at one design and say that's better or worse. He loves us all equally. However, there are times when God will place his favor on you. I love this because it's such a part of my story. I began to serve the Lord, and I think I maybe was growing in wisdom. I was young. I was growing in stature. I was sitting myself underneath some people, but I knew that I needed the favor of God. Now, Priscilla Shirer, she's a great preacher, and she has this reel, and she says, favor, and she says, is what makes things unfair. Not between us and you and I, but between us and the world. And so when you have the favor of God, it gives you an unfair advantage. Favor is what opens up doors that no man can shut. That's what favor is. Favor is when God's presence hangs over you. Favor is a marking so that you can go into an interview and you are not sure why they are drawn to you. You are not any better than any person in the room, but because the favor of God and the favor of man rests on you, you get the job. You see what I'm talking about? And so there is a favor that Jesus grew on. And if you want to thrive and not just survive, you will need the favor. Somebody say favor of God. So when I was in 10th grade, I was young. I stuttered. My mom would make me answer the phone. You remember those old phones, those dial-up ones? Young people, just stay with me. And so we're sitting there and, like, you know, the cord ones. And my mom would literally make me answer the phone just so that I wouldn't be so shy. Just so that I wouldn't have, like, I was very introverted. And I was in band and at South Terrebonne High School. And I remember this like nothing. And I wasn't that good. I wasn't that bad. There was nothing. The only thing is that I'd given my life to the Lord when I was in 9th grade. I ran out of my seat, much like, that's why I love Riker, because he just runs out of his seat for Jesus, and I'm the same. And so I'm sitting there, and I run to the feet. I give my life to Jesus, and I'll never forget, I tried out, like a high school band. I was going to try out as drum major. That's the person who directs the band. I had no gifting, no talent. I even have rhythm problems. I really do. I tend to struggle with rhythm. And there were about 15 kids. We had a huge band, a very good band at the time. And I sat there and I just said, Lord, if you want me to have the position, I'm just going to pray that you would give me your favor. I wasn't more talented. I wasn't more gifted. And I believe to this day that the Lord, for some reason, must have blinded the eyes of those judges. And they did not see how terrible and awkward and how I could barely speak and do anything. But I believe that the favor of God just rested on me for that moment. And for the first time in the history of South Terrebonne, there was a drum major that was a junior in high school. It was me. And I was just like, Lord, it's you. And I believe that God started to do some things in my life because not of me, but because of the favor of God and the favor of man. So here's what I want to propose to you. I mean, can we just play a song or something? I believe that we as a people, I believe us as a church at Hope Community are getting ready to thrive. You can be in a season of surviving. I've been in a season of surviving. There's no shame in that. Your day-to-day. There's no shame in walking in and saying, I'm just making it. There's no shame in that. There are seasons of that. We know this. We're not dumb at all. But I believe that there is going to be a season where God says, now it's time to thrive. Now it's time not just to look at your life, and this is for your individual life, but I also believe this in the life of the church. There is a time where God says, if you would ask me that you could grow in wisdom, that you could grow in stature, and that you can grow in the favor of God and man. So start praying that over your families. So as mothers, as fathers, we need to pray that over our family and say, God, I pray that my kids would grow in wisdom. I pray that my kids would grow in stature. And then, God, I pray that you would pick them, God, for things, and that you would begin to bring them into the light. Why? So that the glory of God can be shown. But I believe this is an individual call to you. Maybe there's a dream that's been dormant. Maybe there's a hope that you used to have, and God has said, but I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And you've been allowing the enemy to lie. We have been allowing the enemy to lie over our lives, and we just survive. Oh, I'm just going to make it to heaven. Guys, we're not called just to make it to heaven. We're going to heaven. But we are called to be difference makers on this side of heaven. You have breath in your lungs to be a difference maker, young people, at your school. You're called to go to your campus and walk over those halls and say, in the name of Jesus, I declare salvation. You have the power of Jesus at your job to begin to declare the things of God into those men and those women. And you might not see movement, but you can declare, God, I believe that there is a plan and a purpose. You begin to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit again. You begin to say, God, I'm getting ready to thrive. I'm getting ready to walk into the plans and purposes no matter the situation around you. You might be in a place like these people in Jeremiah's day where they're in exile, but he says, build again. He says, plant again. He says, seek the welfare of the city again. Don't let anybody deceive you and start praying and believing that God is able. You know what I left last weekend with after listening to Brother Andrew for 6, 7, 8 hours declare things? Is that my God is able. He is able. He is not finished with you. He is not finished with this church. He's not finished with your family. He says thrive. Grow in wisdom. Grow in stature. And grow in favor. Can you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? If that's you in the room and you've just been surviving. Now, the next couple of weeks, we'll take this and how to do that specifically. But if you've just been surviving, and guys, I join with you, just making it. But you say, Lord, I do believe that you are able to help me to thrive. Would you just lift your hand? We're not going to come to the front, do anything weird or crazy, but we're just going to surrender that. If you feel like the enemy has been attacking your thoughts, he's been attacking maybe even your family. Maybe he's been attacking, you've been full of depression or discouragement. If that's you, with every hand bowed, would you just lift your hand right there, just really quietly right in front of you. And God has just spoken this and said, I believe, Lord, that we're going to thrive. So can we do that together? Can we just pray together? If that's you and your hands lifted, say, Dear Jesus, my hands are lifted towards heaven. I've been in a season of survival. And I'm thankful that you have been with me. But Lord, I pray that you would help me to have faith for thriving. God, I pray that I would increase in wisdom, that I would increase in stature. And God, I pray that I would increase with the favor of God and the favor of man. Can I pray over you? Lord, I pray, God, in this congregation, God, so many people, so many dreams, so many visions, so many purposes. God, so thankful to hear just three of them share their testimonies this morning of what God is doing in their individual lives. But God, I know that each individual has a purpose and a plan. So God, I speak into this congregation, God, that we will thrive. God, that you will begin again to give us dreams and visions. God, that we will walk according to the word of God. God, that we will have a plan and a purpose, even in the middle of the mundane of our lives. God, that we will have plans and purposes that come from you. God, I pray, Lord, that we would begin to cry out for wisdom, not just knowledge of you, but God, wisdom that comes from on high. God, that we would make wise choices. God, we need that. God, our choices, the Bible says that our thoughts your thoughts are higher, your ways are higher. God, our choices typically don't line up with you, Lord. So today, God, we need wisdom choices. Help us to make wisdom choices, well thought out, God, with accountability. God, help us to grow in stature. God, help us to grow in the knowledge of God, that we would know you more each and every day. And then, God, I pray when we do that, God, when we grow in wisdom, we grow in stature, God, that you would begin to increase the favor of God and the favor of man on our lives. God, that we would walk out the door and say, but I know my God can. God, if someone's believing for a position or a place, Lord God, that they would say, but my God is able and he has the favor of God on my life and he has the favor of man. Lord, I pray that those things would be used for the glory of God. God, that it would be used to increase the name of Jesus here in our city. God, we ask for our city. God, we seek the welfare of our city. God, we pray that there would be people that come to Jesus, Lord, that know you. God, we pray for salvation in our city. God, help this church to thrive and to be a light into the dark places. God, I pray that you would begin to call them in, like the Bible says. God, it says, if we lift up the name of Jesus, God, that you would begin to call them in. God, we call them in the name of Jesus. God, we call in those that are hurting. We call in those that need you. God, we are calling in those that need a Savior. God, we ask for that. God, this would be a place where people thrive. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. We love you guys. May you go and not just survive. May you go and thrive. We'll see you this Wednesday at 6:30. The men leave Thursday at 7 o'clock in the morning. In Jesus' name, go talk to Miss Ashley if you want to join that elderly ministry. And we'll see you guys very soon. Amen.